rare moments of silence. Lord, for you. For you to speak to our hearts, for you to provide wisdom and direction, Lord, in the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Lord, we wait to hear your voice. And we acknowledge this morning, Father, that you do speak to us. We thank you that you have posited the Holy Spirit in the hearts of those who believe. And Father, you speak to us through his presence in our lives. And Lord, today, as we gather for worship in this place, as we look outside at springtime and the beauty of your creation, Lord, we pray that you would draw us into a deeper relationship with you. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before we jump into the message this morning, let me reiterate one thing that Brandon shared earlier in the announcements. Our men's event on Wednesday night, our men's team led by John DeFeese has put together a phenomenal event for you guys. I think very appropriate for where most of us find ourselves, and it's focused on work and life and home balance. And there's going to be some, I think, some powerful testimonies during that time, not to mention the barbecue. So, guys, if you're available Wednesday night, come on out. Get signed up for that this morning so they'll know how much food to order. And it's just a great opportunity to get to know some other men in the church as well. So let me encourage you to make that a priority. We continue this morning in our Listen Up sermon series with a message entitled The Voice of Creation. In this series, we have been looking at the different ways that God speaks to us. And we have established and determined that God does actually speak to his people. Initially, we talked about the most significant way that God speaks to us, and that is through his written word, the authoritative and inspired words of God that we find in the Bible. He speaks to us most significantly and abundantly, I believe, through the scripture. Last week, we talked about the reality that God speaks to us through his son, Jesus, through his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection via the Holy Spirit. And this morning, we want to talk about, and I think appropriately so, as spring has sprung around us, the fact that God speaks to us through creation. How many of you have ever experienced God or had him speak to you through the grandeur or beauty of creation? Has anybody ever experienced that? Yeah, I think most of us have. It is one of the most significant ways, I believe, that God reveals himself to us if we're paying attention to it. Years ago, Kim and I were in South Africa. We were leading a mission team there, doing a pastors and church leaders conference outside of Pretoria, South Africa. And during that time, you know, if you're going to be in Africa, no matter what you're doing, you need to go on safari, right? I mean, you need to find a couple days. Susan, is that true? Yeah, you just got back from that, didn't you? Yeah, and it was an awesome time. So during this missions conference, we decided to suffer for Jesus a little bit more and go on safari. So we took a couple days and we went way out. We were outside of Kruger National Park in South Africa. And man, this was just bucket list stuff. You know, I never thought that I would ever have an opportunity to do something like this. And as Kim and I look back on that experience, it is still one of, outside of the birth of our children, the most amazing experiences of our lives. But even more memorable than the safari itself was what happened to us one night while we were on safari. We were out in the bush, and this is probably about, 11 p.m. It was a, what they called a night rove. And we went out. And it's the whole thing. It's the Wild Kingdom thing. I mean, it's the guy sitting on the front of the Land Rover in the seat, you know, and we called him Bait. And then... His name was actually Philip. I remember that. It was my same name. But he's out there, and then we've got a guide, you know, with a powerful rifle who's driving. And I mean, when we were just immersed in this whole thing. And so we're out on this night rove, and we had just stumbled across this pride of lions. I mean, just drove into this situation. You hear the sounds and get the smells and that kind of thing. This pride of lions had a fresh kill. And we just literally stumbled into this situation. We were about 25 or 30 feet away from what was going on there. Fortunately, they seemed to be full at the time. But, I mean, it was a hair-raising experience. And I thought, you know, it was surreal. I was like, this is unbelievable. I cannot believe that I'm experiencing this. And I was like, this is the most amazing thing that I've ever seen in my life. Until we left that particular situation, kind of got out of there, and our guide and our driver drove us out into this wide open field in the bush. And he turned all the lights out on the Land Rover. It was pitch black, no lights, nothing. And he says, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to lean your seats back. This was an open Land Rover, so it's not covered. Okay. He says, I want you to lean your seats back, and I just want you to look up. And so at that moment, we leaned our seats back in the Land Rover. And what followed, Kim and I agree, was the 20 minutes of the most memorable worship, life-transforming worship of our lives. How many of you have ever been in the Southern Hemisphere and looked up into the sky? Some of you have experienced that. It is unbelievable. We just don't have that kind of perspective here in the Northern Hemisphere where we live. And we laid back and we literally felt like we were swimming in the Milky Way. I mean, the view of the Milky Way there is just absolutely stunning, and it was a crystal clear night, and you felt like it was just enveloping you. You felt like it was a blanket that was falling over you, and you just get lost in it as you're just leaned back and looking at it, and you felt like you could just reach out and touch the Southern Star because it was so bright in the sky. And we just experienced that and took it all in and just literally got lost in it, speechless, as the voice of creation just resonated in our hearts. I will never forget that time of worship. And it's not like we were on a Christian safari, you know. This was just a regular safari. And yet every one of us, there were about six of us in that Range Rover at the time, we were speechless. The entire way back to the camp, no one said a word because God had spoken to us so clearly through His creation during those 20 minutes. It was an absolutely amazing time. Does God speak to us through His creation? Man, in my experience, He certainly does. I want to share something with you that I found to be pretty amazing this week while I was researching for this message on the voice of creation. I found a video, if you will, that NASA has put out. And Scott, you can go ahead and put that up there if you would. But it is a video that NASA released of the biggest picture ever taken. Okay, this doesn't mean a lot to me, but Dave, I'm sure it will to you. 1.5 billion pixels. Okay, and this is the image that we're looking at here. It's the image of the Andromeda Galaxy, taken by the Hubble telescope. Andromeda is a neighboring galaxy to our own galaxy, the Milky Way, and it is 2.5 million light years from Earth. Take that in. which means it takes light 2.5 million years to span that distance. It's mind-blowing. The light of the sun only takes 8 minutes to reach us. That's how far away and expansive this is. Scientists estimate the Milky Way and the Andromeda galaxy, and Andromeda that we're looking at here, are just two of the universe's 100 billion galaxies. Let that sink in. The sheer scope of creation. The Hubble telescope is powerful enough to show individual stars in this massive photo of the galaxy. NASA compared it to photographing a beach and showing individual grains of sand. Psalm 147. He determines the number of the stars and He calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The word universe, I had never really thought about this. The word universe is a compound word, and it's a combination of the two words, uni and verse. One, uni, beautiful sequence of words, verse. Universe, one beautiful sequence of words. Psalm 33, for He spoke, and the world came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Listen to that. Night after night they display knowledge. Does creation speak? There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard, the psalmist said. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. The psalmist says that the voice of creation is universal, that there is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. It speaks to all of us if we'll listen. It shouts of God's sovereignty and the undeniable existence of an intelligent designer. Isn't that awesome? I mean, our minds just cannot take it all in. Impossible to fathom. But God speaks to us through creation. First and foremost, He speaks to us, I believe, through the vastness of creation. Listen to what Isaiah wrote. He said, who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand? Or with the breadth of His hand have marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? And the vastness of the universe speaks to the never-ending nature of God. And we've just seen a picture from 2.5 million light years away. Unbelievable. And still there is no end in sight. How do you explain that? And many have tried. But even Stephen Hawking, the famed theoretical physicist, who some say is an atheist, but I think he would consider himself more of an agnostic. He said this. He said, the odds against a universe like ours emerging out of something like the Big Bang, the odds against a universe like ours emerging out of something like the Big Bang are enormous. He said, I think clearly there are religious implications whenever you start to discuss the origins of the universe. It's inexplicable. Even to those like Hawking who have spent a lifetime researching it and theorizing on how the world began. It's inexplicable. And God speaks through the sheer scope of His creation. Just attempting to take it all in points us to Him. How many of you have been to the Grand Canyon? Yeah, most of you have been to the Grand Canyon. Man, I'll never forget, it's like I'm always traveling on the church's dime. I was out in... I was in Phoenix at a pastor's conference about, I don't know, about 18 years ago. I go all over the world. Yeah. Was in Phoenix at a pastor's conference, and the pastor that I was with, we decided to skip out of some of the morning workshops one day, and so on the church's dime. And we drove to the Grand Canyon, man. And I'll never forget. We just drove up there, and I think it's the North Rim. It got out of the car and just kind of walked to the edge of that thing and looked. And it was all I could do. I mean, you know, you're speechless just to try to take all of that in. And I'll never forget that. And think about this. The Grand Canyon... and is just a grain of, not even a grain of sand on the canvas of God's creation. And yet, you know, we walk to the edge of that and it's just mind-boggling. It's hard to process. It's hard to take all that in. So God speaks to us, I believe, through the vastness, the sheer vastness of His creation. And He also speaks to us through the beauty of His creation. Martin Luther said this. He said, God writes the gospel not in the Bible alone, but also on the trees, the flowers, the clouds, and the stars. You know, it's interesting today. I was thinking about it as I was preparing this message. In our culture today, we kind of live with lids on. You know what I mean? We really do. We kind of live with lids on. I read this book years ago. It's called Bowling Alone. I don't know if anybody's ever read that. But it's about the reality that we're losing community in our culture. It talked about the fact that we wake up inside a house. Most of us, as we're going to work, we walk inside our garage, where we get inside a car, where we go to work, where we park in a parking garage, where we get in an elevator that takes us inside to our office, and then we do the same thing to go home. And the whole, you know, idea is, man, we just live with lids on. We're barely even exposed anymore unless we're intentional about it to the beauty of God's creation that surrounds us. And so, and it's amazing, you know, generations in the past, they didn't work like this. They didn't have to, you know, live like this. They were outside. They were getting their hands dirty. They were working. They were consistently under the canopy of God's creation. But we're not there anymore. And so we've got to be very intentional about that. You know, as I was preparing this message this week, and I was reading this quote by Martin Luther. I was in my office at the house under a lid, and because the pollen's so bad, you know, you don't want to go outside. But it's funny, you know, when I was growing up, and I know years and years past, that was never an issue. I don't know exactly what's happened, but I was looking. I just looked out the window, and the azaleas are coming out, the cherry trees. Just, you know, look like cotton balls out in the front yard. Everything is beginning to bloom. And I just, you know, it was completely quiet. And my dog was snoring, though. Bruno was down to my right. I do remember that. It was breaking the moment. But and I just listened. And you could hear the birds. Now, this time of the year, you begin to hear the birds. You know, and it starts slowly. You know, you'll hear one, and then you'll hear more. And I just sat there, and I just looked at those blooms, you know, that were just right outside the window, and listened to the birds. And, I mean, it just, there is something about just pausing to take in and to acknowledge the beauty of God's creation that brings peace to our hearts. And I think soothes our souls. And I think that's part of what creation and the beauty and the intricacy of it is all about. It gives us an opportunity to acknowledge the Creator and to receive the beauty of creation in the depths of our souls. I mean, when's the last time you just stopped to just take it all in? I mean, just stopped. I can remember really busy times of ministry, just going. And it's, for some reason, it sticks in my mind, getting home at, 9 or 10 at night and after long, long days and walking out of the front door to go to the mailbox, to get the mail. And I, for some reason, this just sticks with me. And I can remember just from those days of just being on a treadmill and going and going, you just feel like you've been spun like a top. And then God just kind of saying, Phil, I want you to look up, man. Just look up. Instead of just making a beeline to the mailbox, going, getting back under the lid, He says, just look up. And I can remember just standing in my driveway, just looking up. And thinking, why don't I do this more often? Why don't I just stop and just look up, especially when doubt begins to creep into my mind and my heart, or when life is difficult and I'm questioning God's presence in my life, or when circumstances are such that I'm desperate to have God enter them. Why don't I just look up and acknowledge that He's present, and acknowledge the beauty of His creation, and allow Him to begin to soothe my soul through that? Because I know that night in the driveway, He did just that. Man, when I walked back in the house, I was renewed. When's the last time you just stopped and looked up and marveled at the beauty of His creation? God speaks to us through the beauty of His creation. And when we'll take time to listen, He will begin to speak to us through the precision of His creation. Listen to this from Francis Collins, as a scientist and author. He said this. He said, when you look at the universe from the perspective of a scientist, it looks as if it knew we were coming. I love that. He goes on to say this. He says, there are 15 constants. The gravitational constants, various constants of strong and weak nuclear forces, and on and on. He said, and all these constants have precise values. If any one of those constants was off by even one part in a million, the universe could not have come together to the point where we see it. Matter would not have been able to coalesce, and there would be no galaxy, no stars, no people. If any one of those constants was off by even one part in a million, we'd have none of this. Is there a God? Is there a Creator God? Oh, you better believe there is. You better believe there is. It is staggering to think about all that had to come together precisely for life to exist on this planet. From gravity, photosynthesis, to pollinations and the ocean tides, that precision points us to a Creator who speaks to us through it all. But if we're going to hear what He has to say, we're going to have to listen up. We're going to have to listen up. Psalm 19 says this, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth what? Speech. Night after night they display knowledge. That's God's creation speaking to us if we'll just listen up. The universe, one beautiful sequence of words. God's words surrounding us. Take time to listen to those words this week. And what a beautiful time of the year to do so. He's just getting our attention left and right during the springtime. Listen up. And then if you want to hear creation speak, man, just look around. Just look around. Paul told the Romans, who were a people of reason, Paul said this. He said, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen." How? "Being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." In other words, God reveals Himself and His nature to us through the creation around us. And because of that, we are all without excuse, Paul tells us, when it comes to acknowledging the existence of God as our Creator. Listen up. Just look around. And then finally, just look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. Psalm 139. David said this. He said, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful." He said, "I know that full well." And look in the mirror. The intricacy of the human body. The uncharted depths of the human brain. And the beating heart, the eyes, the perfect balance of it all that creates a being capable of worship. Of worship. And that's why God has created us, that we might give Him glory, that we might acknowledge Him as Creator, and that we might worship Him. And He speaks to us through that creation, drawing us to that place. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up now. And I want us to reflect on the words of David here as we close this morning's message. And my prayer is that the next few minutes for you would be as memorable a time of worship as Kim and I had in South Africa almost 20 years ago. Would you just close your eyes? Psalm 8. David said, "O Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, and what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you would care for him. You made him a little lower than the angels, and you crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands, and you put everything under his feet. All the flocks, all the herds, all the beasts of the field, and the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." Father, we thank you for speaking to us through your creation.